Well, it's important to take a brief excursion as to what happens in Western Europe at this time and explain why the Fourth Crusade was preached the way it was. In 1198, a new pope comes to the throne. Innocent III, a man from a great Roman family, a brilliant thinker in canon law, a remarkable diplomat, an astute politician, one of the most intelligent men to sit on the throne of St. Peter, probably will never be canonized, but a brilliant man, and someone, as certainly as popes go, is probably my number one choice, was the man who pioneered the theory that there is the sun and the moon, and the papacy is the sun, and the Holy Roman Emperor is the moon. A brilliant thinker with a very articulate sense of what should papal policy be, what is its spiritual mission, as well as what is its political situation and its question of authority in Western Europe, that issue that had been raised in the 11th century. And Innocent III clearly comes down on the notion that the papacy is the supreme spiritual authority, and he now has the administrative institutions to make this stick. Innocent III can rule his church far more effectively than Gregory VII or Urban II or any of the popes of the 12th century. He has the administration. He can tax the clergy. He has papal legates. He has a diplomatic corps. He also has the will to do this, and he will issue bulls of excommunication on anyone who opposes him. Now, King John of England falls afoul of him on that. Also, Innocent III exploited the political situation in the Holy Roman Empire to prevent that unification. When Henry VI died, it was a complicated succession. Henry VI left this infant son, the future Frederick II, who was heir to both Germany and the Norman kingdom. He also left a brother, Philip of Swabia. And Philip of Swabia was immediately elected by the nobles of Germany as king. He never makes it to Italy to get the papal coronation. Philip ends up being one of those aspiring HREs, Holy Roman Emperors. And the reason he doesn't make it to Rome is that Innocent throws his support behind all the dissidents in Germany, particularly the Welfs. And this is the rival imperial family to the Hohenstaufen, and their candidate is a fellow named Otto IV of Brunswick, who happens to be the nephew of King John. And so the King of England backs one of the contenders for the German throne and the Holy Roman Emperorship, and has the support of Innocent III, the papacy, against the other candidate, the Hohenstaufen candidate, who is quickly backed by the King of France, Philip Augustus, and boom, Western Europe is now in the throes of a major war, which divides the great monarchies over the succession to the German crown and also the Norman realm. Well, the details need not detain us. It's an extremely complicated war with all sorts of diplomatic maneuvers. It comes to a head in 1214, where at the Battle of Bouvain, Philip II and his Hohenstaufen allies, including at that point, that's Frederick II, defeat John and Otto. That is, the papal candidate goes down in crushing defeat, and eventually Innocent and the later popes have to accept Frederick as the Holy Roman Emperor. Frederick II, who succeeds to his uncle Philip of Swabia, who's eventually crowned King of Germany, becomes Holy Roman Emperor, and agrees, just as his father did, Henry VI, that eventually the realm would be divided, that the Norman kingdom would be parceled out, the so-called regno, that Germany and the Holy Roman Empire would be detached. Eventually, of course, Frederick ignores all of these claims, but it's in a part of the effort to get the imperial coronation, and one of the deals is Frederick agrees to go on crusade. And as we shall see, Frederick is the most reluctant of crusading monarchs. He's supposed to be the head of the Fifth Crusade, never makes it, eventually shows up at the Sixth Crusade under excommunication. Well, what these details of the European succession tell us is that there is no king in Western Europe to pick up on the implications of the failure of the Third Crusade. And by 1198, as the German Empire goes into this complicated civil war after the death of Henry VI, I'm not sure Innocent III wanted kings on crusade. And instead, in 1198, he and various popular preachers turn to that other possible source of leadership, the great noble families. And in many ways, Innocent III is looking back. He's looking back to the First Crusade. That was the most successful. That saw the capture of Jerusalem. When you got kings involved in the Second and Third Crusade, all these political rivalries came in. You couldn't direct them. If you appeal to the nobility, especially the nobles, will have a family tradition now running 3, 4, 5 generations of going on pilgrimage, of going out into the East, Innocent hoped for a far more successful crusade. And that And that gets us to the second main point, and that is preaching what became the Fourth Crusade.